Chapter 2. Inquiry. It's the afternoon of day 2 of the training course Andy sent me on, and I've just about hit my boredom threshold. Down on the floor of the cramped lecture theatre, our teacher is holding forth about the practicalities of summoning and constraining powers from the vasty deeps. You can only absorb so much of this in one sitting, and my mind is a million kilometres away.
You need to remember that all great circles must be terminated. Dangling links are potent sources of noise in the circuit, and you need to stick a capacitor on the end to drain it and prevent echoes. Sort of like a computer's SCSI bus, or a local area network. In the case of the great circuit of Al-Hazred, the terminator was originally a black goat, sacrificed at midnight with a silver knife touched only by virgins. But these days we just use a 50 microfarad capacitor. You, Bob, are you falling asleep back there? Take some advice. You don't want to do that. Try this and get the termination wrong, and you'll be laughing on the other side of your face, because your face will be on the other side of your head, if you still have a head.
Bloody academic theoreticians.
Yes, I said.
I've been over this before with brains. Electrical great circles are a bad thing, best shunned by anyone with easy access to decent quality lasers and a stabilized platform. Electricity, for ages the primary tool of the experimental vitalists, is now pretty much obsolete. But it's so well understood that these ivory tower types prefer to use it as a vehicle for their research, rather than trying more modern geometry engines based on light, which doesn't have any of the nasty side effects of electrical invocations. But that's the British school for you. Over in the States, when they're not dangling stupid, remote-viewing disinformation tricks in front of the press corps, the Black Chamber is busy running experiments on the big Nova laser at Los Alamos that everyone thinks is for bomb research. But do we get to play with safe opto-isolated geometry engines and invocation clusters here? Do we fuck? We're stuck with Dr. Volt and his thuggish friend Mr. Amp, and pray we don't get a stray ground loop while the summoning core is present and active.
Anyway, it's time to break for coffee. After we come back in about 15 minutes, I'm going to move along a bit. It's time to demonstrate the basics of a constraint invocation. Then this afternoon we'll discuss the consequences of an uncontrolled summoning.
Uncontrolled summonings are bad. At best, you'll end up with someone going flatline, their brain squatted by an alien entity. And at worst, you'll end up with a physical portal leading somewhere else. So don't do that, yeah? Teacher claps his hands together, brushing invisible chalk dust from them, and I stand up and stretch. Then remember to close my file. The one big difference between this training course and a particularly boring stretch at university is that everything we learn here is classified under Section 3. The penalty for letting someone peek in your notebook can be draconian. There's a waiting room outside, halfway between the lecture theatres, painted institutional cabbage with frumpy modular seating, in a particularly violent shade of burnt orange that instantly makes me think of the 1970s. The vending machine belongs in an antique shop. It appears to run on clockwork. We queue up obediently, and there's a shuffle to produce the obligatory 20-pence pieces. A yellowing, dog-eared poster on the wall reminds us that careless talk costs lives. It might be indicative of a sardonic institutional sense of humour, but I wouldn't bet on it. Berwick upon Tweed was at war with the Tsar's empire until 1992, and it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest to discover that one of the most obscure Whitehall departments, say the Ministry of Transport's Department of Long-Reach Electric Forklift Vehicle Maintenance Inspectorate, Tires Desk, is still locked in a struggle to the death with the Third Reich. It is quite in keeping with the character of the laundry to be aware of the most peculiar anomalies in our diplomatic heritage, the walking ghosts of conflicts past, as it were, and be ready to reactivate them at a moment's notice. That which never lived sleeps on until awakened, and it's not just us citizens of old-fashioned Einsteinian space-time who make treaties, right? A fellow trainee shuffles up to me and grins cadaverously. I glance at him and force myself to resist the urge to sidle away. It's Fred from accounting, the pest who's always breaking his computer and expects me to fix it for him. About 50-something, with papery dry skin that looks as if a giant spider has sucked all the juice out of him, he's still wearing a suit and tie on the second day of a 5-day course, like he's wandered out of the wrong decade. and it looks slept in, if not lived in, to the point of being halfway through a second mortgage and a course of damp proofing.
Dr. Volman seems to have it in for you, eh?